positive.
Living is the only thing we can do. That and driving, half an hour to get medication because, like, it's easier to find uncommons from 10-year-old sets than to find Adderall in this state right now.
Well, if you mix baking soda with chocolate,
Yeah, same thing.
don't know, just try it. See what happens. I mean,
I love your
it's, it'll do
suggestions.
something. I don't know if it's going to do exactly what it's intended to do, but
I guess we'll find out.
guess we'll find out. I
I'll leave it
mean,
up for next week. I'll have an
yeah,
update for you on
crack a
baking
beer,
soda.
put it in the batter, make some chicken tenders, and call it a day. All right.
Chocolate chicken tenders might be very interesting. Who knows?
I mean, this day and age, people just throw whatever is left in the cupboard in the old the recipe there. It's like I was making cookies, and I thought, well, why not put salt in there to try? Why make it sweet? Try salt.
Fair enough,
But
fair enough.
in any event,
Well, I
welcome to
guess
the
there is
Olympics.
nothing. What's up?
What's up?
I was just going to say there's nothing else to talk about, but dive right into the main event, so to speak. Let's talk about men's hockey at the Olympics. We've had we can start with what happened right a few hours ago. US definitely dominating Latvia. What the heck happened?
You just said it. This was a great way to kick off the round robin, the tournament, so to speak. You got to get out with a win, and you got to put up points because it's a different tier than the NHL, where you win a game, it's 2 points. You lose a game, it's zero. You tie, it's
Yeah.
one. In the Olympics, it's points plus goals scored and goals allowed. So you got to
Okay.
really, because there's that's how they do the tiebreaker. So you really got to win big, because you may have a good record, but that goals against, goals for comes into play. That could be the difference between the medal round and going home early.
Fair.
So 5-1's a great way to kick it off. I mean, they were the favorites going into the game. They had a great performance. Things that stuck out to me were the performance of Brock Nelson and Jack Hughes. Nelson's been on a tear this year. Both these guys did not have the best four nations,
Yeah.
and the reason they were on the team for the Olympics is because they are very good players, and I'm glad that they were able to kind of get that proverbial monkey off their back in the first game. Brock Nelson having 2 goals, Jack Hughes 3 assists, two
Yeah.
assists. I apologize. Him and his brother each got 2 assists. And Quinn didn't get to play in the Four Nations due to injury last year. So these are a great way to kick off, the first match of the Olympics for them, and to kind of show like, hey, we belong here. Yeah, Four Nations wasn't our best showing. But with that said, here we are, and this is what we're going to bring to the table. And you put up 5 goals. It's
Yeah.
fantastic. Rounding out the rest of the goals were Brady Tkachuk, Tage Thompson, who was a new addition to the team. He was not on Four Nations. Great for him to get a power play goal to kind of kick off his Olympic, or with this team debut. And then in the third period, just kind of icing it, Austin Matthews with a power play goal, the captain of the team. And other great players in this the first game. You got Matthew Tkachuk getting 2 assists, Jack Eichel getting 2 assists. So we're getting a lot of great play, which is expected for this team. So it's a great first game.
Fair enough. Well, I have to point out something, and we'll go into the individual results in a second. This has been one of the most insane, like, lopsided preliminary rounds I've seen in hockey. Like, the closest game was the next one we're going to talk about, which is Germany that beat Denmark 3-1. That was the closest game in this round. Is this just random bad matchups? Well, I will say there is one that was very surprising, but we'll get to that. How is this so one-sided?
Do you know what? I think we talked about it last week. There's a lot of good teams, and those good teams have top end NHL talent, top tier NHL talent, where teams that are not as NHL top heavy are going to play a lot closer. Denmark has a few NHL players. They're big guys like Nikolaj Ehlers. Germany has, you know, they have a handful of players led by Leon Draisaitl, Tim Stützle, Moritz Seider. They got JJ Paterka. So they have a lot. They have a few of those, you know, teams. And that's how teams that have more national players and, like, you know, Danish Pro League, German Pro League, they may play in, like, the Swiss League or the KHL, who are not NHL players but are professionals in their own right. Those teams are going to play a little bit closer. So you're going to see a lot of that with these, I don't want to say tier two teams, because they're all Olympic teams, but not NHL heavy teams. Because basically, like, Finland, USA, Canada, Sweden are essentially like all-star teams, because I don't think they have any national players. If they do, it's maybe one or two. Finland has a few. I should take that back. But the rest of them, they're just all NHL teams. Like, if you look at Sweden, it's an entire NHL all-star team. So they're going to play and dominate a lot more than they're going to have some struggles.
Huh. Fair enough. So, all right, let's, well, we can move on to, because you just talked about it a little bit. This is one of the biggest upsets of the first preliminary round. Slovakia beats Finland 4-1.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Finland having some of the best players in the NHL, let alone, you know, in hockey in general, kind of just fell apart.
They're a team who are essentially a fantastic team, but they're not. They are lacking their captain. Their big man up front, Alexander Sasha Barkov, 2-time Stanley Cup champion. Who is that guy that, you know, great player, can't say enough about how good he is, but they're missing that great two-way center. Because now their number one center is essentially their number two center. Fantastic player in Sebastian Aho, but Aho doesn't play a 200-foot game the way Barkov does, and Barkov's going to be out there with those tough matchups.
Yeah.
And then you look at Slovakia, there's a lot of young talent. Juraj Slefkovský from Montreal, Dalibor Dvorský, who's a rookie with St. Louis, and he made a statement game in this one. They have strong players, like veterans like Tomas Tatar. They have some good defensive players like Simon Nemec. So this is a good, well-balanced team. They're a team that's going to blend a lot of their national players, and they got a sprinkling of well-rounded NHL players. Most of them are on the younger side. Nonetheless, they came to play, and if this is the thing, you could do this and run through your pool. You can make yourself to the medal round. Does not help Finland's case. I think that they kind of are you know, in a rough spot, but With that said, you don't play one game, you play several games, and if they could, you know, teams could stumble and they can pick it back up, and, you know, who knows, they can find themselves in a medal game.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I think that that was definitely, I did not see that one coming. But then we look at yesterday, Sweden dominating Italy. Italy did score the first goal. Got to give it up for my fellow Paisans.
Yeah.
But man, Sweden's a team that, as I kind of did a deep dive after we had our pre-Olympic show, I was looking at this lineup and I'm like, dude, they're a scary team. Like, they got talent, they got guys back. Hedman's back, he's off injury. They got a lot of players, they got a lot of grit. They don't really have a weakness. They have a very strong offense. They have a sick defense, they have great leadership, and they got some of the best goal scorers in the league on their squad. I mean, they're just going to be a team to watch. I look forward to it. And it doesn't bode well for Finland, because I think they play tomorrow. So
yeah,
I will be up. Well, I'm up early anyway because I have to commute to work. So I definitely will be watching on my phone on the way into work tomorrow. So
to be fair, though. And not to say that Finland or Sweden isn't an incredible team. They did not cover their 5.5 goal spread against, because that roster Sweden went against had literally no NHL experience. So while it's still an impressive victory, 5-2 against a team that you should not even let a goal in, it says something that Finland's not out of this.
No, Finland's not out of it. I'm not counting them out. I'm just saying.
Am I giving too much credit to? Am I giving not enough credit to Sweden? But I think like it's still like Italy wasn't the team to watch at all.
No, not at all. And I think that, you know, Italy's going to play with a chip on their shoulder. They're the host nation, so they're going to get a little more of that crowd support. They're playing from the front of more of their countrymen and women than other teams. So there's going to be that where we may not win the games, but we're going to do our best not to get embarrassed.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I will say this, Sweden put up over 50 shots. Which Damn. Is yeah, so they were putting the puck on net. And for them to only give up five goals is pretty impressive. When you look at it, they only let in, you know, they were being pummeled did as much as they could, but you know, in the end of the day, like you know, Italy's not an international hockey powerhouse. They do have some pro leagues.
Yeah.
They do have one up in Tuscany, if I'm not mistaken. But you know what? Maybe this is the thing where that next generation is going to get inspired by hosting it. And maybe, you know, in 8 to 10 years, we're talking about Italy as being one of the best teams in the international play. Who knows?
Fair. Listen, I'm not saying it won't happen, but either way. Okay, let's move on to the two trouncings that happened this first round. Canada beats Czechia 5-0, and Switzerland beats France 4-0. Listen, I didn't have much hope. Canada was so favored to win, but Czechia not putting up a goal is a little surprising.
This is a team that has a lot of good talent on it. Yeah. I just think what it comes down to is Canada is the team to beat. I feel, you know, the big three are going to be Canada, U.S., Sweden. Those are my picks. I would like to see U.S. get the gold. If they don't, I'd like to see Sweden get the gold. I'm not hating on Canada, but
a little revenge for four nations.
Yeah. And the fact that it's very comical, they can't fight in Olympic hockey. You're not allowed to throw hands, which is very comical.
Really?
Yes. You're not allowed to, you can only use bad words. You can't.
So
throw
what, hands. What is the penalty for throwing hands, so to speak?
You're
is it done. Immediately?
Yeah. You're going, you're ejected. You're going back to the States. It's not tolerated. It's not allowed. It is very much not allowed to be played. So you're basically playing youth pickup hockey. You're playing, you know, eighth grade hockey.
Wow.
So it is very different, and it's funny because people, you see the little scrums,
yeah.
And instead of throwing hands and pushing, they're just like yelling at each other. Like if you're a professional athlete, you block that out. You're not dealing with that. You know, the physicality of the sport is what really drives that momentum, and it's kind of not there. So it's very lucky for you know, for some. I mean, our you know, the U.S. game is a very gritty, very very smash mouth, physical game, and as we saw in Four Nations, they're not afraid to drop the gloves even before the game starts. So who knows? Maybe there's going to be a brawl at the Olympic Village. I mean, that might be some, you know, get spitting chicklets out there to film that or something. I don't know. Just saying. You know, got to throw hands somewhere. But with that said, Chechnya did not play up to expectation. Canada.
26 shots on goal, and Binnington blocked every single one of them.
Yeah, Binnington's a big game player, man. Like, he's not having a great season. St. Louis is the last place team in their division. You put all that aside, when you get this guy in a big game situation, if it's the Stanley Cup Game 7 in the Stanley Cup Finals, which he's won, Four Nations Championship, Olympics now, he's a guy who steps up.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's going to be their backbone. You know, the one weakness going into the Olympics was, how is he going to play as the starter? Because he's having a challenging hockey season.
Yeah.
And people are just like, it's not, they're two different things. And I completely agree. It doesn't matter if you have 100 points in the 60 games or 55 games you played, or you have like a 9.5 goals to get, you know, save percentage. Like, does all that is put to the side when it comes to representing your country at the highest level?
Yeah. Yeah. We'll hear no arguments out of me. All right. Anything about general the games before we get into the nitty gritty of a couple topics I want to get to?
No, I think great couple first games. I'm really pumped that the women's team is undefeated. They beat Canada 5-0.
Super. Oh, you well, that was another topic, but yeah, okay. Oh,
I loved it. I've been such a Hillary Knight fan for a while. She's been a great player for the, and this is from what I've heard. This is her swan song, and I want her to go out with the gold because she's done so much for the women's hockey, the WPHL. Like, she's been that person for them, very much like in women's soccer, that Abby Wambach, that female that who drives that league and is an inspiration for young women to go into the league, college, international, and professional hockey. She's been that flag bearer for a long time. Hopefully she gets that gold to end her international career.
Fair. Well, let's hope for the best.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into some nitty-gritty stories I had, and just a little bit. Obviously, we discussed how all these games were pretty lopsided. But let's talk about the U.S. game for a sec, which just happened. It was actually a lot more lopsided than it. We had two goals wiped out by coaches' challenges, which I've rarely seen one happen that way. Is this something really more common to the Olympics? Like, what happened with those two goals?
Yeah, I was kind of surprised by that as well. I think things happen, and you got to, make the call as it happens. You know what's going to happen if it goes the opposite way. So
yeah.
But yeah, Latvia, you know, they made the, well, I should say, yes, the calls were made and they worked out in their favor. let's just, I'm looking at this roster. I mean, Latvia's got a couple NHL players. I got two NHL goalies who are above average, and Elvis Merzlikins and Arthur Selivos. So they got good goaltending, but when you get faced with 38 shots, it's, it is what it is. Yeah,
38-18, and Connor Hellebuyck saved 17, obviously. I mean, yeah. that doesn't show how good he really is, I think. Like, that's not that many. Like, I don't think there were long stretches of the game where they never even had, like U.S. didn't even let Latvia have the puck. It was very one-sided. Although still 38 shots is a little low. They were kind of just like controlling it. Is that a bigger strategy? I mean, I know they scored 5 goals, so it's not really just that they just controlled it, but still.
Yeah, I mean, the more pressure you could put on the team, the more you could, it's just one of those things where the more time you have the puck, the more time you're in the offensive zone, the more you control the game,
Yeah.
You're not digging it out of your own end. You're bringing it to them versus them bringing it to you. And this team is built to put the pressure on. They got a lot. I mean, you look at the lineup. There's no person that can't absolutely just snipe. This lineup's got everyone in this lineup could be a 30 goal scorer, and they probably all of them have been a 30 goal scorer at one point or consistently. Like, I mean, this team is built very well. They have a lot of firepower. I mean, when you're like fourth line is guys like Kyle O'Connor, who's like a 90 point scorer, 30, 40 goal scorer. The guy just absolutely is a point per game player. Got to feel pretty good. I mean, you got guys like Matthews and JT Miller, who's like 100 point, seasons back to back. You got Tage Thompson, who's like a 40 goal scorer. You got Tkachuk, who can put up 100 points. You got his brother Brady Tkachuk, who can score 30 goals. Like, this team is just,
yeah.
They put the pressure where they want it. They muck it up all the time, and they're just going to just kind of dominate the situation.
Fair enough. All right, let's go over some quick takes from the first 2 days of competition. Some questions and some topics we'll just run over real quick.
Yeah.
We'll start with the bigger question. Who did it better, the Hugheses or the Tkachuks?
Ooh, that is a great question. And I don't think... that's a good one. Let's look at it. I want to say... I want to give it to the... It's a tie.
Really? Okay.
Like, yeah, Brady scored a goal. But both Quinn and Jack both got two assists.
Yeah.
You know, Matthew got two assists. So, yeah, if you want to just go, well, the Hughes scored more points, but the Tkachuks got a goal.
Yeah.
Like, you know... you know what? I mean... Dude, there's really it's. I feel like it's down the middle. I mean, you know, I can't say that one was better than the other. I mean, yeah, Quinn Hughes got two power play assists.
Yeah,
that's, you know, okay. But yeah, I mean, you know, there's a lot of good.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, man, that's a tough one. I mean,
sorry.
It's fine. Like, how do you break it up? I mean, do you want to go plus minus? I mean,
I mean, listen, like they did. The Quinn is probably the most important player on the roster. Jack opened on the fourth line and finished with a pair of assists. So, like, you know,
yeah, Jack was injured going in. Like, they were, yeah, you know, there was talks of him not being ready to go game one, which would have mean like Clayton Keller would have gotten the start.
Yeah,
he was a great, great player. Leader of the Utah Mammoth. But yeah, I think they're, it's, you know, it's a good problem to have when both sets of brothers are putting up, you know, multiple points.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. Takeaway number two. Let's go to this quick take. Now that everything is coming up, Brock Nelson, does Coach Mike Sullivan have a decision to make about his lines? You know, Nelson anchored the fourth line with Jack Hughes and JT Miller. But do things change going into the second game?
Oh, that's a great question. I think that I would keep everything because that's line put up a lot of points. I think that there's a good connection between Nelson and Hughes.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a strong player at JT Miller on the wing. I really wouldn't change much. I think that if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
And they got the day off on Friday, so yeah, they could rest up. And they're playing Denmark on Saturday. So they get an opportunity to kind of use that time to kind of look at what Denmark's did in their first game. And obviously they got walloped a bit. But, you know, there's that opportunity to kind of keep everything where it's at. I wouldn't change anything. I think the lines were great. You know, there's not a, I wouldn't, why, you know, yeah, I really wouldn't move anything. Cause I don't know who would you put on the fourth, who would you move to the fourth line? Like, who would you, are you going to flip Larkin for Nelson? Cause you won't put Matthews on the fourth line.
Yeah.
Eichel's not going to the fourth line. So then you put Larkin, and does Larkin and Hughes have that same vibe?
Fair.
Or does Nelson mesh with Connor and Thompson?
Yeah.
You know, it's an interesting line because Hughes can be a puck distributor. They're both, and Miller are definitely guys that are more playmakers, and Nelson's a bigger goal scorer, where if you put him up and you move Larkin down, I think Larkin could adjust to Miller and Hughes, but Thompson's a shooter. And yeah, he's a shoot first guy. Connor's a guy who can score 40 goals for you. I think there'd be, it literally wouldn't work as well. Kind of thinking about it, looking at the breakdown now, I think that it's in a good place where they're set up.
Fair enough. All right. Final takeaway. We learned that I think one of the biggest themes and lessons we learned from Four Nations was pace. And it's something that both Canada and the U.S. kind of excelled at. And we saw it a lot yesterday. Latvia, you know, was tied 1-1 in the beginning of the game. But, U.S. just wore them down and just outpaced them with speed and physicality and possession the entire time. And that seems to be the strategy that both Canada and the U.S. are going for. And while the game, you know, Canada, U.S. and the Four Nations, you know, Canada ended up winning, it was still close. And both teams seem to be able to keep up with each other. Two questions from that. Number one, will the fatigue factor be the thing that leads Canada and the U.S. to the finals once again? And two, if that is the case, what do U.S. and Canada need to change up their strategy for going into that game where they know the other team will be able to keep up with them? I'm prepared for this episode. Yeah.
Yeah. My invisible hat has been tipped. Yeah, I think those teams, they play it and they're playing at the highest level, so their pace is always going to be higher, and that's what's going to be their benefit. I mean, as they play other teams in their bracket, I mean, Denmark has a few pro players, so they're going to have a few guys that can keep up. Their speed is their ability to just outplay them. They're just going to move at a higher level. Yeah, it's a bigger sheet of ice, but you know what? These guys are just extremely well conditioned. They're in the middle of a season. They are at their peak.
Yeah.
And that's their benefit. I think that's what you're going to see again. I'll say it again. It's going to be US, Canada, Sweden.
Yeah.
In whatever particular order. I'd like to see USA first. You know, if they don't, then Sweden, so on and so forth. I think those teams are going to play at the highest level. I think Switzerland can be a team. I think that's a great test on tomorrow for Canada, is they're playing Switzerland. Switzerland's a very good team. They're going to give them some headaches. And, you know, I look at the rest of the matchups for tomorrow. Finland, Sweden, I think I'll take Sweden.
That was my last topic, so.
Yeah,
go over the four games tomorrow. Give me your quick predictions. So go ahead. You got it.
Yeah. Sweden over Finland.
What do you think the score? Give me a score off the top of your head.
I think it'll be like 4-2 Sweden.
Okay.
Their offense is really good. Their defense is good. Finland's going to they're going to bounce back. I could see a guy like Rupe Hintz or like Captain Mikael Granlund really kind of getting the juices going and getting some offensive going, because they're a better team than what they showed in their first matchup, and I think they're gonna play up. But I think Sweden's just such a better team that they're, you know, that's where I'm at there. Chechnya over France, I think Chechnya bounces back. David Pasternak and company, they're gonna be like, well, we need to wake up if we're gonna make a run at a medal. Slovakia over Italy. This team's got a lot of speed. They're a lot of fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that dude from Dvorsky, who's a rookie from St. Louis. This is almost like a junior world championship showcase 2.0. So people are gonna, hockey fans who don't know who this guy is are going to leave this Olympics like, wow, I may need to check out some St. Louis games because this guy is really good. And then
fair enough.
The last one is Switzerland, Canada. Going to be a fun matchup. Great game. I wish I wasn't working so I could watch it, but I think the edge does go to Canada. I think this team is just so well built, but Switzerland's definitely going to be in there, and it's not going to be an easy win.
Fair enough. All right.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Italy versus Slovakia.
Slovakia over Italy. They're just going to be the team that's going to put a lot of, you know, they got a lot of good players, and I look forward to seeing them taking it to them, kind of rebounding from the Sweden game.
Yeah. Canada and Switzerland.
Canada. Canada. Switzerland's going to give them a run for their money, but Canada is just the better overall team.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. And finally, France versus Chechnya.
Chechnya. They're just going to bounce back. France doesn't have any firepower compared to Chechnya. And again, that's a team that needs to rebound if they want to make a medal.
Fair enough. All right. That about wraps it up for all I had planned. After tomorrow, we are on break until Valentine's Day. So it should be an interesting, couple of days. Any other final thoughts before we wrap this one up?
Yeah, just tomorrow as well. Tomorrow is women's hockey as well. The USA plays
Italy. Oh, shit. Italy. Yeah, sorry. You talked about it a little bit. I forgot.
Yeah, no, it's all good. Just looking forward to seeing Italy go for their fifth win in the tournament and continue to be the team to beat. Them in Sweden, I believe, they may be the only undefeated teams left. So I'm looking forward to that.
Amazing. All right. Well, that about wraps it up for this episode. Thank you so much for joining me, Ant. We will see everybody back here next week for more Drive to Ant's Hockey.